Hello and thanks for downloading this episode of Squabblebox. Squabblebox is a live, interactive debate show that airs between 11 a.m. and 1 p.m. every Monday and Thursday on Siren 107.3 FM. Throughout the show, we'll be asking your thoughts and opinions on different topics. When you're listening to the podcast repeat, you can still get in touch with us on Twitter at Squabblebox, the email squabblebox@sirenonline.co.uk, or on our Facebook fan page, Squabblebox. For legal reasons, the music that you hear live on the show has had to be edited on the podcast. Get in touch. We love hearing from you. Now sit back, relax, and enjoy the show. Hello, you are listening to Squabblebox right here on Siren FM. It's 11 a.m, it's Monday morning, and that means it's time for Squabblebox, hashtag Ask Us Anything. This is the interactive entertainment show where we get you to pretty much write our show for us. That's how it works, isn't it, Maisie?
Vaguely, yeah.
So let's introduce ourselves. My name's Kai Valentine, and I'm here with my lovely co-host, Maisie Anderson. You know what? I had so many running through my head, but lovely was the first one that I felt I could use on the radio.
Hey!
Oh.
Mean.
So, Maisie, how are you doing this morning?
I'm so tired. Because for you guys listening live, it's 10 o'clock on a Monday morning. Woohoo! For us, it's 8:30. On Saturday.
Yeah, because I am travelling home this weekend to go and see my dad. It's his birthday. Happy birthday for yesterday, Dad. But that means that we are pre-recording an episode this week, and we've had lots and lots of contributions in.
From all over the world.
We really have. We've got them from multiple countries from around the world, and we can't wait to get into them. So that means
it's going to be a good show.
Usually when we do this show live, we get them to send in their contributions live.
Yes.
And we can answer them as we're going along. Unfortunately, that's not possible today because, as Maisie says, we're recording this on the Saturday morning. We're very tired, but we're going to get into it.
The last time I was up this early on a Saturday was to watch Dick and Dom in the Bungalow.
Oh, that was a long time ago.
That was a long time ago.
So, Maisie,
it's okay, I have all the caffeine.
So, Maisie, let's get in to our first segment of the morning, and that is, can you believe that?
What can't I believe this morning, Kai?
Can you believe this is my favourite news story,
yeah,
I think I've ever read. Can you believe that Dr. Heimlich, the 96-year-old American inventor of the Heimlich manoeuvre, has used the technique himself for the first time to save a choking woman at his retirement home? How awesome is that?
I just can't believe it's the first time he's ever been in the same room as someone who's choking.
Yeah, that's, well, either that,
being
or he's
said,
just, maybe he's just not bothered.
He just really liked this one.
Yeah.
Now, that being said, though, I've not been in many rooms with people who are choking before. So, yeah, I can kind of believe that he would go through 93 years without ever actually using it for real, because he's demonstrated it for people before. It's just, it's such a... The weird thing is, it's not only is it a life-saving manoeuvre, but it's also a staple of most slapstick comedy.
Yeah, yeah. He is... I didn't realise how young the manoeuvre is, because it came out like a movie. It was invented in 1974.
Which means our parents, mine and your parents...
Yes.
They lived in a world for a few years where there was no Heimlich manoeuvre.
Yeah, that's kind of... Kind of weird, really, to think about.
Then again, they also lived without DVD players or iPads, so, you know.
But yeah, as a 96-year-old man, saving an 87-year-old woman at your retirement home with the Heimlich manoeuvre, that is the ultimate pulling technique.
I'm pretty sure his wife would have something to say about that.
I don't know. But yeah, I love this story. I just think it's really, really awesome.
Oh. I would love it if at one point one of the nurses went, does anyone know the Heimlich manoeuvre? And he just like steps in to the situation.
I am Heimlich. He said that one of the funny things that I found about it was that he said, I didn't know I really could do it until the other day.
So for all he knows, he's been selling people lies for the past nearly 40 years.
Since 1974, it is said to have saved the lives of more than 100,000 people in the US alone.
God.
Some of the famous people...
Get in, Dr. Heimlich.
Some of the famous people that this manoeuvre has saved is President Ronald Reagan.
Cool.
Pop star Cher. Former New York Mayor Edward Koch. And Hollywood actors Elizabeth Taylor, Goldie Hawn, Walter Matthau, Carrie Fisher, Jack Lemmon, and Clint Eastwood.
That's a lot of really famous people to save.
Yeah, he said that he... Sorry. Clint Eastwood was credited with saving the life of a golf tournament director in California who was choking on a piece of cheese.
That's a story.
It really
is. That's a story. I want to hear that full story, but not right now.
This is the one that I didn't know about. In the UK, and I can't say that this is a verified story, but it is on the BBC News website.
Okay.
So I would think that it would be more valid
It's reliable.
Yes.
It's a reliable source.
In the UK, celebrity promoter Simon Cowell was reportedly saved by comedian David Walliams, who carried out the Heimlich manoeuvre on him after a mint became stuck in his throat.
I can believe that probably happened.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. David Walliams being able to turn around to Simon Cowell. And I know it's BGT week. We don't know the winner.
No, we don't. This is a weird thing. We're recording this pre-finals.
Yeah. Just to go off on our first tangent of the morning, Maisie, let's make our predictions.
Are we going to predict now?
Yeah, because we are recording on Saturday morning.
Oh, no.
So we're going to watch it tonight. Who do you think is going to win?
Now, who I want to win and who I think is going to win are very different.
All right, who do you want to win?
I want the dancing kids to win.
From the semi-final.
The ones who didn't even get the wild card, didn't even come third in their heat. I want them to just storm the stage and win, because they should be the ones performing for the Queen on the Royal Variety Act, because they're the best kids.
Well, they didn't get through.
So
who do you think is going to win after the people in the final?
I'm not 100% sure. I have a feeling that Trip Hazard, the dog act, is going to do well. I think the Magician. I think for me, it's between the Magician and Boogie Storm.
Yes.
Because they're very popular with the judges. They're very, very popular with the audiences. And they're very, very different from what we usually have. And a lot of people, I know a lot of the audiences have complained in the past that it's the kind of competition that kind of lends itself too much towards dancing and singing.
Yes.
So it would be really nice to have a variety act win, even though technically Boogie Storm were dancing, but it's comic dancing.
Yes. There are so many that I think could win. My answer was going to be Boogie Storm or The Magician.
Okay, so we have a similar prediction.
Yeah, Richard Jones, the soldier magician. However... I do have a feeling that it could be the choir from the first night.
Oh, of course, the hundred
Voices of Gospel, who won the first semi-final. But we will see. They all know, so let's move on.
You know who won. You can laugh at us if we're completely wrong.
We're going to get it
if
wrong.
We're so off the mark.
But I tell you what, if those dancing kids from Thursday night's semi-final get through...
If they storm the stage and they win... Somehow.
Maisie is Raven from That's So Raven. She's a sidekick, ladies and gentlemen.
Either that or I orchestrated it.
Yeah. Oh, let's go into our first song of the morning.
Let's indeed.
Let's play a little bit of Stevie Wonder. This is Living for the City.
Mississippi, surrounded by for world that ain't so pretty. His parents give him love and affection to keep him strong, moving in the right direction, living just enough for the city.
That was Stevie Wonder, Living for the City. We are Squabblebox. You're listening to Siren FM, Lincoln's first community radio station. We are... I was going to say we are live here on Siren FM, but we're not.
I don't think we need to keep bringing it up.
No. And we are talking all about hashtag Ask Us Anything this morning. This is the show where you can message in with your hashtag Ask Us Anythings, and we will talk about them. So, what are you laughing at?
That's a very strange way of changing the tense of that phrase. Asks Us Anythings.
So, the first message that we have got in is from Ian in Edinburgh, who says, Squabblebox, hashtag Ask Us Anything, which is your favourite flavour of Jelly Baby?
Jelly Baby?
Yes.
I like all of them, but orange. The orange ones.
You don't like orange ones, or those your
favourite? They're my favourite.
Those are your favourite? Yeah, I think
I'll eat any Jelly Baby. Like, some people really don't like the dark ones, the darker ones.
I don't
know what flavour they are.
I think they like blackcurrant.
Yeah, why blackcurrant's the best. Everyone loves blackcurrant.
I never used to like Jelly Babies as a kid. And
we've had this. I've had to force you to eat Jelly Babies before for your own blood sugar reasons.
Yeah, all right. I used to not like Jelly Babies as a kid because I couldn't eat anything with a head on it.
I know where this is going.
And we had a bit of a situation last night.
Yeah. Okay.
We?
So Kai has a. It's not quite a phobia, but it is a. It's just. It's a hiccup of yours.
Yeah.
You don't like eating anything with a face on it, even if that face is cartoonish.
No, it's not. It doesn't bother me as much as it used to.
Yeah, when you're a kid, you can kind of get away with it. And as you've gotten older, it's gotten better.
Yeah.
Well, last night, speaking of Friday night, was last night to us, Friday night to you,
yes.
Was our roommate's birthday. And as part of her birthday present, I got her a cake.
Yes.
It's a caterpillar cake. A caterpillar cake that's absolutely brilliant.
Yeah.
The problem was everyone else was too sick, like too full or just not feeling well. So we didn't, not all of us had a piece of cake after we blew out the candles, including the birthday girl.
So I just had a piece of cake.
Kai was the only one who had cake. Halfway through, he starts really struggling with it. And I ask him why. And he said, it's because this white chocolate bit's really tough. And I turned around to him and went, why did you take the face? I've never seen you in more shock in your life.
I didn't realise
you nearly jumped off the sofa. You were so scared of what was in your hand.
Oh no, it wasn't very good.
Well, the main reason I was angry was because surely if it's not your cake, you start from the back and you make your way forward.
It's
one not end. Your cake though. Oh. It was not made. It wasn't meant for you.
I don't understand cake etiquette. I'm
you
sorry.
You don't understand cake etiquette. You being the guest of the cake,
kind of like when you go to a family wedding, but you're not really sure who the bride and groom are. So
have you ever been to a wedding where you don't know who the bride and groom are?
A little bit.
Normally, it's normally the woman in the big white dress.
Yeah, oh yeah, I know that. But it's like when you go to and the buffet opens.
Yeah.
And then your mum and dad turn around and go, no, you stay back. Don't go yet. Don't go first. We don't know them. Wait 10 minutes.
Wait for someone. Wait for the mother of the bride to go first.
Whereas I'm there, like buffet's open, judge.
I've never actually. The last wedding I went to was my mum's.
All right.
My mum and dad.
Yeah.
Yeah. They got married. They didn't get married until after me and my sister were born. And I was about 4 and I was a bridesmaid at their wedding. And it was great because they had a magician. That was the kids' entertainment. While the adults were having champagne in the garden, all of the kids were having balloon animals made for them and learning how to spin plates. It was great. I had the best time at my mum and dad's wedding. And now I'm really looking forward to the next family wedding where I'll actually be able to remember the majority of it.
Well, when did this family wedding happen? Were you 8?
No, I was 4. Yeah. I remember specifically being 4 this time, not 8.
All Maisie, every story that Maisie has from her childhood.
If you listen back to any of the podcasted versions of this show, every story from my childhood, I start with saying, when I was about 8, everything happened to me. Like, that year was a great year for me. A lot of stuff happened. Even though I was actually 12.
But Maisie, I think we should go back to the question, which was...
Oh yes, the Jelly Babies.
Favourite Jelly Baby. Oh, we love going off on tangents here.
We always go off on tangents.
But yeah, my favourite Jelly Baby colour, I'd probably go with orange. I do like the yellow ones.
I like all of them, but yeah. I'd say orange is my, like, if I see a packet open, I go, I just pick, I automatically, instinctively put the orange ones first.
Yeah. Yeah. They sort of, I had to use them. I had to eat them for a while because I was low on blood sugar and things like that. So it became more of a task than
a task
than an enjoyment. But yeah, I
do enjoy them now.
Yeah, I do actually. So let's move into another question. Let's go for one from Becky in Lincoln, who says, if you were to design a flag, what would it look like?
If I were to design a flag, it would probably look a lot like the Welsh flag, because I like the dragon. I like the dragon element. So, but not a field. It's not going to be a field. It's going to be, let me think about this. I'd say it has to be like a fire effect.
Yeah.
You know, like the really bad fire effects you can get on like Premiere Pro and stuff.
Yeah.
Like on editing software. So like it would be a really bad fire on a plain black fire and then the Welsh dragon. So it's a lot like the Game of Thrones Targaryen one, but in reality it's not.
Oh, I don't know what I'd do for it. It'd have to be things that, when I think of a flag, I think of things that represent.
Oh yeah, everything has. Or the fire represents how hot it is in my made-up country.
Yes.
And the lava caves of my made-up country, and the dragon represents the dragon that we have in the caves of my made-up country.
Fair enough. If I was to get a flag that represented me, it'd probably have to be. A square for the wrestling ring.
Of course.
Yeah, sort of like three lines around the side to represent the ropes.
Yeah, okay,
then,
I get that.
Then inside it, I would have the... And I'm going to get some stick for not knowing what these are actually called.
Oh dear.
But you know the faces of drama where there's the smiley face and the sad face? What are they called?
I don't have to know this.
I don't know, but I'd have them.
I have a necklace with those.
I'd have them. And I would have probably a microphone to represent like podcasting and radio and things.
Yeah.
So that's my serious answer.
Okay.
Along
so
with
can I have a serious? Yeah. If I have a serious answer, okay. To represent me, it would be a sky blue background because that's my favourite colour. Then it would have a string of lanterns on top.
Yes.
To represent that I like lanterns and my free spiritness, and then it would just be coffee.
A
mug
you
of
need
coffee.
Coffee.
I need coffee.
Yeah.
I couldn't get coffee this morning, so I had to go for the energy drinks, and I know I'm going to crash halfway through this recording.
Shall we go into another question? This one's in from Chris in Lincoln, who says, "Who would win in an arm wrestle, Kai or Maisie?"
Oh, I don't know.
Oh, we might have to do this in the next song.
I feel like you're stronger than me.
We might have to do
but
this
I do
in the
lift
next
bro.
Song.
What do you even lift, bro?
What do I lift, bro? I don't lift.
I went up a weight at the gym yesterday. I'm
all
so
right,
happy.
Yeah.
I went from 4 kilograms to 5 kilograms.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
oh, but this one, we'll check that one out later. We'll test it out.
We'll test it after we record.
However, this one, I think we know the answer to. Who's the better cook, Kai or Maisie?
Who do you think's the better cook?
I think that you're the better baker.
I am. No, I'm the better cook.
Yeah.
I'm the better cook, hands down. How many times have you come into the kitchen, seen what I'm eating, I've explained it to you, and you've gone, oh.
Yeah, they do sound nice, and they do smell nice as well.
And I cook most of the stuff I cook is from scratch as well. I don't... Kind of from scratch.
Yeah, I can imagine that. But let's go into the next question, which is, who spends the most time...
Are these all Chris from Lincoln?
No, this is from Chris, yes.
Yeah.
Who spends the most time moaning about life?
Oh, I feel like that's a dead heat. That has to be...
I don't know.
That has to be a tie.
I think you moan a bit more than I do.
I moan... Now, this is the thing. You moan about legit things. Like, things that are actually quite bad.
You moan because you can't have coffee.
I moan... because no one's giving me coffee and someone's in the living room talking about stuff.
I still remember the day that you turned around to me, and I think you might remember this conversation, but you turned around to me when we were sat in the front room and you went, when I'm in a bad mood, there's two ways to get me out of that bad mood, and that's for me to either have coffee or to eat something. But yeah. Don't you dare ever turn around to me and say, go get some coffee or go get something to eat.
This is the thing. I know that if I'm irrationally, if there's nothing that's actually triggered it, if I'm irrationally grumpy,
yes,
for reasons that I can't explain, I know that it's down to either a lack of caffeine or a lack of food. Because I do get very irritable when I don't have one of those two things. The problem is, I'm really bad at telling myself that that's the reason why.
Yeah.
So I try and make a reason in my head. And normally the reason is, well, someone's just being really loud downstairs and it's their fault. Even though in reality, if I had a Mars bar, I'd feel better. Those Snicker adverts are me.
Oh, that's brilliant. So, Maisie, I think it's time to go into another song.
It is indeed. What are we heading into?
We're going to go into some Kaiser Chiefs. This is Ruby. Ooh. Stay tuned. That was the Kaiser Chiefs with Ruby. I love that song. That takes me back to high school, Maisie.
Does it?
Yes, it does. We danced along to that at our prom. because we have one kid in our class. We had one kid in the school called Ruby. And when that song came on, everyone gathered round her and sort of just shouted the song at her. Which sounds really cruel now, I look
it
back.
It does. At my school, something similar happened to me where my name kept being substituted into other songs because I have a two-syllable name that ends in an IE sound.
All right.
So it's really easy to slip it in where someone sings the word baby or maybe. So when we were at prom...
Call me Maisie.
Yeah. When we were at prom, I had a circle of my friends around me singing... So call me Maisie, and it's no. I loved it at the time, but looking back, it was awful. There was also the Justin Bieber song "Baby," which sung at me, replacing "Baby" with "Maisie." You can imagine that.
Maisie, ooh.
I have to admit, I kind of liked the attention at first, and then it got really, really boring really quick.
Right, we are Squabblebox.
We're
here on Siren FM, Lincoln's first community radio station, and we are doing our hashtag Ask Us Anything this morning. Writing the show, you can send in your messages.
We just can't promise we'll read them out.
Yes, and that is what we're doing today with hashtag Ask Us Anything. And Maisie, shall we go into another question?
We should indeed. One from Bobby from Ohio has messaged in and hashtag Ask Us Anything. Best music concert you've ever been to?
Best music concert I've ever been to.
Now, you go to concerts a lot. You've been, not recently, but you've been to a lot in the past.
Not as many concerts, more festivals.
Yeah, but that counts.
But yeah, the best band I've actually enjoyed at a festival, there's been some that I've really enjoyed. I really liked seeing Maximo Park, which are a northern band, and we might play some as the show goes on, actually, and now I think about it. But then the best band that I saw live was Nile Rodgers with Chic.
Okay.
Which was awesome. they were so good.
Yeah, I have to admit, I don't see live music very often, and I've never been to a proper concert.
Yeah.
The most I've ever seen of a band is at school talent shows where the microphones didn't work. And I have a friend, my friend's friend's band.
Yes.
Played at a skate park opening and I recorded it for them.
Oh, yeah. That's funny.
That was proper screamo as well. In the middle of the day.
That shows the difference. I went to see Chic and freak out, le freak, say Chic.
I'd have preferred your experience, really. Like, they weren't a bad band, but I didn't know them. I never met them before that day. They were just my friend's friend's band. Who I think now my friend's brother is in their band now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Well, you learned something new.
I learned something new. Nothing particularly interesting.
Shout out to that band.
I can't remember the name of right now. I'm sure my mum will probably message in and go, how could you forget? To be fair, she probably doesn't know either.
Yeah, the other people I've seen, I did see the Arctic Monkeys.
However, I'm so jealous. You see all this live music.
Arctic Monkeys were... I love the Arctic Monkeys. Mm. People know if they listen to this show regularly because we play a lot of them.
Yeah.
However, I was quite disappointed because they... Well, I wasn't a big fan of their new album at that point.
Yeah.
So I was a bit like...
You were going in already kind of skeptic.
Yeah, and they played all their new album and then they came back... Then they went off and they spent about 15 minutes... off stage and then came back on for the encore, but it's proper rock and roll.
Yeah,
you know, that's what they want to do. And it was but when they came back on for the encore, they did all their classics, which was brilliant. And they even did Mardi Bum. They did 30 seconds of it, which is something that they don't normally do. They don't play Mardi Bum anymore.
Aww.
Because they see it as their old work. They did it at 2013 Glastonbury, which is one of my favourite musical performances.
I don't know. It's one of these things, we were talking about this, because of Busted touring again for the first time in about a decade, we were talking about how they, when they do play their old music, they play revamped versions of their old music occasionally. And we were discussing about how bands should be allowed to evolve. But I think you also have to appreciate that the songs that you used to sing, the songs that kind of got you where you are the ones that your fans like. And surely, as a service to them, you shouldn't be so sceptical about playing old music.
I think that's why they came on and they played a lot of their older stuff in the encore. But it was one of those moments where I was like, "Oh, I'm quite gutted that it was." You know, I wish I'd have gone to see you in like 2006, 2007,
when you were about 8.
Yeah, no, a little bit.
Oh no, 10.
Everything with you is 8 years old.
Because it's the easiest age to assume I did something weird. Oh. I don't want to do the maths.
Yeah, pretty much. So let's have another question, Maisie, because we've got plenty to get through.
We've got lots to get through.
As the show goes on. We've got a message in here from another one from Becky in Lincoln, who says, do you prefer emails or post?
Depends. It does depend. I like getting letters in the post occasionally.
Yes.
Normally happens around about your birthday or bills.
Yeah, yeah.
Which aren't fun.
Post used to be so fun, and now it's now it's not brilliant because you go, oh no, now I've got.
Now you've got to pay bills. And then again, I like email. I don't tend to correspond with people I know personally on emails.
Yeah.
Emails are a very professional thing for me, especially my student email, which, of course, I never use to email other students unless it's about a project.
Yes.
At the moment, the thing that me and my friends use the most when it comes to projects is actually Google Drive.
All right, I've used this a bit in podcasting.
Yeah, because you can edit everything all at once, and it can either be a really good tool or it can be a hindrance.
Yes.
Depending on what kind of project you're doing. Like when we were doing a joint presentation, we could make all the presentation slides. We could take a page, a slide each, and do work on it while everyone else was doing work on it. It was really useful.
Yes.
The problem with the same system is when we were using it to create a 30-page script, everything got a bit messed up because... because already it was a bit messed up because you had four people writing their different interpretations of four different characters.
Yes.
So some of the characters came out being really stone cold in some scenes and then really irrationally angry in others.
Yeah.
So, and there was an inconsistency in some of the text. But also as well as that, four people on a Google document, the assumption is that someone else will be working on it. So I don't need to. So our script took ages to write because everyone assumed that someone else was writing.
Yeah.
So I was like, oh, well, if everyone's got the document, I don't need to write my bit for ages yet. I'll let someone else do this bit. And it was, and then we ended up having to rush it.
Yeah, I can see where that's coming from. I mean, I was very similar at college. When we were doing improvising and devising, we devised... Well, actually, you weren't in my group, I don't think, for this bit. But we did a documentary piece and we put all our script into a Google Drive where we could all edit. And yeah, I sort of prefer it, but
I think it works better if you have like you've said, okay, between these hours, we will work together on this.
Yes.
Although I feel like if you're having a really long script, something that's 30 pages long because it needs to be about half an hour, I think what would have worked better is if one person wrote the whole thing and then everybody added edits on afterwards.
Yeah.
Which is probably how it's going to happen, but it's one of those learning curve things, because new technologies, you have to try and use them before you can find out what the best way to use them.
It's also one of those things where you've got to trust your friends. You've got to trust the people that you're that you're working with, because if they go in, they can delete everything that everyone's
put. They could do, and I think you have to have an agreement ahead of time, so like you suggest changes, you don't do it until someone else in the group has said yeah.
And I never thought about that, because like what we post this show on, which is the Trending Topics Network on iTunes, we all get the password for that. And I was listening to a podcast that Justin, our listener from America, was on his podcast Hanging with Heavy, and he was talking about the Trending Topics Network, and he said, yeah, basically we give you the keys to the house, just don't go and mess everything up and delete everything, just don't delete the feed.
I think that has to do with an awful lot of trust.
Yes.
And plus, as soon as you do it, everyone, you're gonna get kicked off, aren't
you? Of course. But it's one of those things where you go, if you're doing important work and somebody else can do, I wouldn't want. And also, this is one of the things that I found about doing my site specific work here at uni.
Yeah.
Because we put the blogs online.
Oh yeah, and everyone can access
them. And look at your ongoing work and basically look at your essays. And I went, that's a bit weird. That feels weird to me. But it's a new thing.
Could they edit your essay?
They couldn't edit it.
Okay, that's
okay. But they could see it, and that feels weird to me.
Yeah, I mean, I suppose if it's not the sort of medium you're used to when it comes to doing essay work.
Yeah.
Because normally you're very... Like, we've gotten to the point now, we're in our second year, we're used to handing things in to Turnitin or to Blackboard. And, you know, we're that's pretty bog standard for us now. But putting it online where other people can see it before the deadline... And before you've finished with it, can be very strange, I imagine.
Yeah.
And I remember because you and everyone else I know who was doing that course found it very difficult because it's a very new way of doing things.
Yeah, it's new, but it should be tested out.
I like the way that the university tries to engage new technologies and get them to work.
I still remember back in high school when we got a system called Frogger. Which was a the school apparently paid like lots of money for
Frogger. Frogger is a game on the like Nintendo 64 or something, isn't it?
It was a website for schools, a bit like Blackboard for university students. And you basically posted all your stuff online, and the teachers gave you feedback on your work through like a pigeonhole that's online and stuff.
Okay, so similar
to
system.
Blackboard. And nobody used it because all the teachers didn't want to move on with the times, and all the kids didn't want to try things out that were new. And it was a bit like, it could have been great.
Yeah,
it might be in play now.
I find it really interesting how different schools and universities work with like admin and stuff. Like we get annoyed at university sometimes about having to sign the register because it feels a bit demoralising when you're supposed to be treated like an adult, but in reality you're still kind of being...
It's only like signing in for work.
Yeah, you're still keeping tabs. Yeah, some people see it as just signing in for work. Other people see it as being having people hold tabs on you and stuff.
Well, I'm sorry, but if you're a student, you should... have to turn up for your lectures, just like if you're working.
But
you should...
if you're an adult, then you should have the opportunity to not turn up for your lectures. It's your own. If it's your own money you're wasting.
But it's not about that, though. It's about student finance and their money that you're wasting, because they're paying you
but
money.
But you still have to pay it back. That's the underlying.
But it's very, you know, if someone signs up to uni to use student finance and doesn't use any sort of... they're just doing it basically for a cheap loan.
The main, actually, when I've talked to other lecturers about it from other from not only the University of Lincoln but other universities, they've said a lot of the reason is because when there are students who don't turn up to schools, don't turn up to their lessons, don't turn up to their lectures, you do get some parents blaming the school for not motivating them to, or if the student said that they've been, but they just haven't been doing well.
Yes.
Then it means that the university has a proof of, look, they haven't turned up for these many weeks, that's why they're not doing well. But as well as that, I find that at least just signing in and being able to say, yep, that's my signature, that was me in that lesson, that's
pretty exactly.
good. Assuming that your lecturer remembers to hand it round, because otherwise it's a big pile, like a pile on at the end of the lesson.
Yeah.
But what I know of a university, and I won't mention names, that not only do you have to sign sign the register, as we do.
Yeah.
You also have to be on a student computer and log in to either an hour before or after your lecture.
Oh, right.
I recently found out, now I thought that's a bit much, but you know, if you're going to go, it kind of promotes you to go to the library because it has to be an on-campus computer.
Yes.
Turns out, no, there's one computer to do that.
Oh.
For all the students.
Oh,
which means an hour after you have an hour to line up after or before your lecture to try and get signed into this computer just to prove that you were at that lecture because the signature isn't enough.
That's not good. That's not a good way. The way I do it is, I think, take your student card and you have to sign in and scan it on your way in.
I think scanning it on your way in
is
super easy. I know a lot of A-level colleges that do it that way.
I think that'd be the way to go with it. However, we're going to head into another song now. We are Squabblebox, Siren FM's interactive entertainment show.
We're
doing hashtag Ask Us Anything. We've been taking your questions and we're talking about them. You guys are writing our show. You can get us on Twitter at Squabblebox. You can get us on our Facebook fan page, Squabblebox, or on our email, squabblebox@sirenonline.co.uk. Get in touch.
It's
we love hearing from you. And we will be back just after 12 o'clock, just after the news. So this is a bit of the Cortinas and Lose Control. Stay tuned to Siren FM. That was History by One Direction. You are listening to Siren FM, Lincoln's first community radio station. My name's Kai Valentine. I'm here with Kai Valentine. I said my name wrong, Maisie.
Well done.
I am here with Maisie once again, and we are talking all things hashtag ask us anything. Doesn't really make grammatical sense in that situation, but we're running with it.
I've had more caffeine.
Oh, Maisie. So we are doing hashtag Ask Us Anything. The people have been sending us in their messages and their questions, and we're going to answer some more as the show goes on. So let's take a look at some of the other ones that we have got. Maisie, which one would you like to go with next? Is this?
There's so many to choose from.
Yeah, let's go with one from our Swedish listener.
Ooh.
Hallmark. Now, this is the thing, Maisie. Hallmark. I know through Twitter and through doing other podcasting, and I don't know how to pronounce his name. And he basically told us that it's quite difficult to pronounce.
Okay.
So we all call him Hallmark.
Okay.
He says he's the Hallmark of Sweden.
Aww.
But it just makes me laugh because I every time I think of him, I think of the card shop.
Yeah, you would do.
And I send him photos of the card shop sometimes as a joke.
You have a really strange relationship with other people.
But he says, what are your dream jobs? And he says, if acting, specify.
This is literally my dream job.
Yeah, I've got to admit, yeah.
Yeah, that's kind of, yeah, we're already there.
Being paid
for it would be great. But at the moment, we're volunteers and happy like
those
that.
Those are the opinions of Maisie Anderson.
No, I mean, if one day we could get to the point where we are professional radio presenters.
Where we are getting paid for the job, yeah. But I am loving doing the volunteering, as are you, down here at Siren FM. The fact that we get 4 hours a week to just talk a load of weird stuff.
We talk like this at home, though. It's just an awful lot less controlled.
We just get 4 hours a week to talk about what we want. They give us complete control, and we have so much fun doing this. It is so fun. And if people are, you know, interested in getting into radio, get in touch with your local community radio stations. They're always looking for new shows and new people.
Exactly, especially at Siren FM, where they're really welcoming.
Yeah.
It's such a lovely atmosphere working here.
It really is. But let's have a think of it. What was the dream job that you had as a child, Maisie?
As a child? It's the dream job, and when I say since I was eight, I mean it.
Right, okay.
Legitimately, since I was 8 years old, I wanted to be one of two things. I wanted to be the showrunner of Doctor Who.
Yes.
Or the Director General of the BBC.
Yeah.
When I didn't know how much work that would take.
I remember when you told me that you wanted to be the Director General of the BBC, and I turned around and went, right,
I did
well.
I say it as a joke.
And I said, right, well, I'm going to be friends with you then. I was like, yes, this girl wants to be, you know, head of the BBC. I will become friends with her. That's the way it goes. So I'm still waiting, Maisie, you know.
Supposed to be there by now.
You're going to be giving me, you know, my big break.
That being said, you have way more contacts in the world of television than
nowadays,
I do at the moment.
Yeah. So, Maisie, talking of Doctor Who, Hallmark also says, Hallmark, you know who we're talking about, our Swedish listener.
Mean.
We have listeners in Sweden, Maisie. How awesome is that? That's incredible to me that we've got. Right, we've had questions today from America.
We have.
Sweden.
Edinburgh.
Scotland. We've England. Multiple cities in Lincoln, in England, including Lincoln, Yorkshire, everywhere. This is amazing to me. I love it.
You're so excited. It's adorable.
So let's have a look at this next question from Hallmark, who says, favourite Doctor Who episode and the season and the Doctor?
Doctor Donna.
All right.
The Dr. Donna seasons, which was Dr. David Tennant as a doctor and Donna Noble as his assistant.
All right.
That's my favourite season, hands down.
Okay.
I don't even need to think about it.
Yeah, yeah, I've got to admit.
It was my favourite.
So what's your favourite episode?
You're
very tough.
It's like, even though it's not part of that series, I do love Blink.
Yes.
I love Blink for it. It's very simple, but very convoluted at the same time. It's the idea of musical statues.
Was Blink one of the first Matt Smith ones?
No, Blink was David Tennant and Martha.
Oh, yeah, I'm thinking of, getting
Blink,
mixed up.
Because the character, that episode was written by Stephen Moffat. Those are his monsters.
Yes.
Which is why they recur quite a lot in the newer seasons that he's the showrunner for. I loved it. I liked it back before they showed us them moving.
Yes.
Because before then, there was this really eerie element of, well, the reason they're not moving when they're on their own is because we're seeing them, and it was breaking the fourth wall, and it was very clever. And then we did see them move in the spaceship episode.
Yeah.
I can't remember its exact name, and And that kind of ruined that balance for me.
Yeah.
Especially because the whole point was that they're quick moving, although these ones were broken.
Yeah. Now, when I look at my favorite Doctor episode and season, it's a very difficult one. I when I was a kid, I used to love Tennant and Donna. They were, you know, they were the ones that I grew up watching. They were the ones when
they
I first came into
chemistry.
Watching. They were the ones that were first there when I was watching, and I'd love Catherine Tate.
Oh, so you didn't start watching until David Tennant had already taken the
yes,
role?
Yes, I missed the first season.
Many seasons before Donna.
I missed
Eccleston.
Yeah, I missed Eccleston. That's what I'm saying. But I also have a really bad memory. Like I've been asked to do a podcast about Doctor Who,
yeah.
And I've realised that I have such a bad memory that I sort of, you know, I don't want to be one of these people who, yeah, I really live in the present.
But I have the same situation because me and you have constant conversations of, do you remember this thing I told you yesterday? And I'm, no.
Yeah, and people like say, oh, do you remember this from...
You also forget who you tell things
people
to.
People say, do you remember this in season 3 of Doctor Who? And I go, well, I know that season 3 was David Tennant, and I think Donna was there by season 3.
No, not quite. That was
season
Martha.
I get it all mixed up.
It was Eccleston Rose.
Yeah. Oh, you know it all,
Tennant Rose.
Yeah.
Then it was Tennant Martha. Then it was Tennant Donna. Then it was Tennant on his own. For 4
yes.
specials, then it was Matt Smith.
Yeah, if you ask me anything, you know, post 50th anniversary special, I can remember it.
Yeah.
But then again, to give him his credit, Peter Capaldi is probably verging on overtaking David Tennant as my favourite Doctor.
Yeah.
I really enjoy him. And now I'm a big fan of the thick of it as well, and I do like Peter Capaldi. But I have enjoyed it. One of my favourite episodes is Listen.
Yes.
That was a very good one. That was Peter Capaldi's first season.
That was, yeah.
And that was the one where he had the chalkboard and things kept getting written on there. And what else happened?
It really played with childhood fears as well.
Yeah. Which it was the under the bed.
Yeah.
Hand coming out from under the bed, and that's something that everyone has fears of.
Oh, of course.
Going back to childhood, and I really, really enjoyed that episode. But Maisie, I think it's time to go into another.
Before we start going on about Doctor Who for the next
hour.
Yeah,
that's what I'm sort of thinking of. So the next song is going to be "Kiss the Kiss" by Carly Rae Jepsen. Stay tuned. This Kiss by Carly Rae Jepsen. We are Squabblebox. You are listening to Siren 107.3 FM, Lincoln's first community radio station. This morning we are doing hashtag Ask Us Anything. And Maisie, we're having a good time, aren't we?
Yeah.
For people who have tuned in, because
we haven't
mentioned this since the hour mark for the news. However, we are pre-recorded today, so if you are sending in your hashtag Ask Us Anythings, we will get them in next week's episode. Mm. However, Kai is home visiting his dad for his birthday, so why did I refer to myself in the third person, Maisie?
Because you're that kind of guy.
I'm that kind of
You're
guy.
That guy.
Oh, so we are talking all about, all of your questions.
Yeah,
we've got a message in.
This is probably the most international show we've had.
Yes, and
to date.
What way to go the most international than to go with Rob from Lincoln?
Round the corner.
Who says, I've got a conversation topic for you for hashtag Ask Us Anything Squabblebox.
Okay.
After tomorrow, they're removing it. So this past week,
it's they have GCSEs.
Yeah, they have removed of mice and men from the GCSE English syllabus to replace it with British novels and poetry. Now,
which is very interesting.
I didn't know about this. It's not something that has been flagged up to me. However, I was reading an article in The Guardian recently, and they were saying that it was because they're wanting, like I say, they're taking Steinbeck and they're, John Steinbeck, who wrote Of Mice and Men, and they are, they've said that they're resting him. To make way for British authors. This is something Michael Gove has said, that British children should study British writers.
Okay.
So he says Steinbeck must make way for Austen, Dickens and Bronte from next year.
Now, I'm in two minds about this, because I can understand resting Of Mice and Men. It's been on the syllabus for a long time now, because we did it when we were in high school. And I remember being really disappointed because I know it's a great book. I know it's a great story, but it wasn't given to us in its proper form. We were given the small extract book. So we didn't have the full story. The only bits we had were the beginning chapter, the end chapter, and all of the bits that took place in the farmyard, in their bunkhouses.
Right.
So in the bunkhouses.
Curly's wife. Everyone,
Curly's wife.
Oh yeah, she was.
That
wearing
was a question we had.
Curly's wife, and she was wearing red, which symbolised lust and danger.
This is the problem: is that especially the way my teacher did it. We read it in year nine, and we analysed it by chapter. We didn't read the whole thing first.
Yeah.
And my teacher refused to show us the movie until we'd read the whole book. That made sense.
Yes, of course.
But you know. I liked the book, and it's the same with a lot of other books, like Animal Farm. I've never read the full version of Animal Farm because I was given it at high school. I was given the extract version, the smaller version, and it was analysed before I could read the whole story. So I couldn't enjoy it in its entirety, and that really upset me because both of them are really powerful novels and they're not giving children the proper experience of reading it for the first time and actually enjoying it as a text before you look at it from an analytical point of view. And that's not really the teacher's fault. That's just the way the syllabus works. They don't have time to wait for all the children to read it separately.
Yeah.
They have to just get on the ball and get it rolling.
Now, you see, what we did to sort of counterbalance that was we were told to read it, and we were told to read it through class. So we read it in class.
Yeah.
However, what we did was we also watched the film alongside it so that people understood the story and then read the extracts.
Okay. I think the problem was is that if we read it all the way through once, even with it just being the extract version, then it would have been slightly more entertaining, and I could have appreciated it for its entirety.
Yeah.
But because every end of each chapter, and this book that we had only had about 8 chapters in it, it wasn't the full book at all. We stopped, and then we analysed the full chapter, and then we had to carry on. And we were told the ending before we got a chance to actually read it for ourselves, and it was all a bit disappointing. But as far as I'm aware, like when they say that they're pushing it aside for British novelists, I kind of get that.
Yes.
I get the point that, you know, we should really, like, that it's such a rich, our history of literature is very strong. We have a very good history with literature. I feel like maybe they could start looking more towards more modern authors.
Yes.
Because, yes, the classics are good, but modern authors are pretty good as well.
This is one thing I found in theatre, is that we've started doing about more contemporary authors from, they say contemporary British theatre, which is 1956 onwards, which is still not massively, you know, brand new. However, we've done some that are like late 90s, and actually doing a play that was written in my lifetime is very, very interesting.
Yeah, and especially because, and similar to that, I feel like I understand why they want more British novels and more British poetry to be on the syllabus, because, you know, that's our own personal identity as a nation. I think if anything, instead of trying to reduce it more towards being British, make it more broad and actually introduce literature from other countries, not just the Western Hemisphere, but the Eastern Hemisphere as well, because some of the most interesting things that I read. Like, we did a short story module.
Yes.
And part of the, some of those short stories were translations of Japanese stories. And they were so interesting because they were so different to the way that the Western culture writes. And not just in the fact that it was a translation, so it was a little bit... So there were parts of it that didn't quite make grammatical sense because the translation wasn't brilliant.
Yeah.
And the fact that as you're, if you're translating translating languages like Japanese gets a bit complicated because of the way that their language is structured is very different to ours. So when you deconstruct each word separately, you then have to rearrange it to make sense.
Yes.
So we weren't getting the story in its entirety because of that, but the story itself was really interesting.
Yeah.
And it was only a short story as well. And I feel like if we had more of an opportunity to read more stories from other cultures, it would help broaden our mindsets a bit more. Because as good as British novels are, there's also a lack of diversity, I feel, in some of the syllabuses, especially for English. Because, like they say, that like, there's a lot of American stuff in there, and there's not that much British, but at the same time, there's nothing from anywhere else in the world, really.
Some of the American authors, though, that I've read, like we read in English language and literature at college for A-level and AS level. I read All My Sons, which is a play, but that was brilliant. But I also read books like The Kite Runner, which is fantastic. That's a book that is... It's set in the beginning, set in Afghanistan, and it's by the author is from Afghanistan or has roots in Afghanistan.
Yeah. See, I got really jealous because at the same time you were doing A level you were doing language and literature.
Yes,
I was just doing literature, and my teacher picked only British novels to do.
Yeah,
he picked only British poems. He picked only British novels, and a British play. They were very good. Don't get me wrong, they were mostly about World War One.
I don't think we did a British novel or play, so there needs to be that line.
And I got really frustrated with it quite quickly because we were doing Charlotte Bronte's Jane Eyre.
Yes.
Which I struggle with already because it's not I've read it before and it's a text I don't particularly like for my own reasons.
Yes.
We did The Journey, the play we did was... I know it. I know it. I actually have the copy still because I liked it so much. It was the Journey's End, which was about the trenches in World War One.
Yes,
it's a very short play, but it's so good. And then alongside that, it was a book called Regeneration, which was about the soldiers from World War One that were recuperating in a special hospital, including some famous poets, which I can't remember off the top of my head.
Yeah.
I think one of them was Oscar Wilde. And I kind of got frustrated with it because they were so close in theme that I felt like I wasn't getting an awful lot of diversity in what I was reading, whereas there were other groups doing the same module but in different classes that were doing Frankenstein and they were doing Dorian Gray and really interesting gothic books, and we were stuck doing the same sort of stuff we did at GCSE, and it was very difficult. And it's one of the
reasons... not saying they're bad books.
Oh, no, they're not bad at all. So similar to each other that... It made it very difficult to keep reading.
It's sort of like a lot of theatre students are not fans of doing Shakespeare because it's something that, it's something that's very, very old. And although they are timeless classics and they are considered some of the best writing in British play history.
This is something we were talking about really early on when we first started on Siren. We had one of the lecturers for the theatre course here,
Diane Dubois.
I think it was about our third or fourth episode.
Yeah.
And we were talking about the fact that Shakespeare needs to be performed to be appreciated because it's a play. That's the form it's supposed to be in. And the way that you analyse it in classrooms doesn't allow for you to enjoy the magic of it.
Yes.
Because I'm a huge fan of Shakespeare, mainly because I've seen it live. I've seen a lot of the plays done live by either amateur or professional companies, and every time it's always amazing because it's really easy to engage with the text.
Yes.
Because it's bendable. Shakespeare wrote it in mind with the fact that it would, if they're going to be done in years to come, they need to be adaptable. So you can take any time period and use Shakespeare, and it's been done in modern times, it's been done in the Renaissance times, it's been done in all the periods in between.
Yeah. Yeah, I totally agree. And going back to Rob's point about Of Mice and Men, because that's the one that... The thing about it that a lot of the government figures have been arguing is that it's too short.
It's too short because they're not giving you the full text.
But what they're saying is... and this is something that I was going to reword this and say it in my own words, but actually this guy in The Guardian has summed up exactly what I was thinking.
To quote from The Guardian.
Yeah, to quote from The Guardian, he says, yes, it is short, but it has everything you'd want to teach a child about literature in there. Mm-mm. Symbolism, structure, pathos, characterisation, imagery, it's got it all. More than that, the themes of hope, friendship, loyalty, and the vulnerability to speak to students and their very modern concerns. It touches on racism, it touches on homophobia.
Sexism.
It touches on everything. And that, to me, it seems like the perfect model of a book to show people and to teach children with, because it doesn't just teach them about English and English language and literature, but it also teaches them about modern skills that they need for modern life.
Yeah, and I'll agree with that. I mean, obviously I was saying a bit earlier on that I was disappointed by the way they teach it, because you analyse, because the way that my school did it is that it was analysed before it was read.
Yes.
And that was disappointing. But it did open up an awful lot of channels for in-class discussions. While we were still quite young, we would only have been about 13 when we started reading it, about the symbolism of sexism, the fact that Curly's wife has no identity other than being a wife, the racism in it, that although from a modern audience it seems absolutely horrible, and yet stuff like this is still happening, and
Definitely.
It's the same with the homophobia. And I think it does have an awful lot of really challenging issues that should be spoken about in classrooms more. But then again, there are also British texts that do that.
Yes. Yeah, of course. And I think it's finding that fine line. I do believe that maybe, because they have been teaching it for many, many years, I've forgotten the amount of years, but basically, you know, my parents, I'm pretty sure, studied.
Yeah, my parents studied it.
So it is one of those books that maybe it does need a little bit of a rest to be appreciated that little bit more.
Yeah.
Possibly. But we'll see as years goes on, and if they can't find a suitable replacement, then they can just go back to it. It's always going to be there.
Yeah, it's not going to suddenly fly off the face of the earth.
Yeah. So I think it's time to go into the next song now. We're going to be going into a bit of Elvis Presley. Remember that you can get in touch with us in the many different ways on Facebook, on Twitter, and on our email, and we'll be back after this. Stay tuned.
I just can't help believing when she smiles up soft and gentle with a trace of misty morning and a promise of tomorrow in her eyes. I just can't help believing when she's lying close beside me and my heart beats with the rhythm of her sighs. This time the girl is gonna stay. This time the girl feels so small and helpless, and my fingers fold around it like a glove. I just can't help believing she smiles and whispers magic, and her tears are shining on me sweet with love. This time the girl is gonna stay.
This time the girl is gonna stay.
This time the girl is gonna stay. Just a day.
Oh, I just can't help believing.
Take it.
Oh, I just can't help believing.
Yo.
Oh, I just can't help believing. Oh, I just can't help believing.
Yes, that was Elvis Presley with I Just Can't Stop Believing.
Elvis has left the building. Thank you and good night.
Oh, I'm so glad I found that soundbite, Maisie. I'm going to use that so much from now on.
No, you're not.
Why not? Why don't you like it?
Because like it's so played out.
What, the...
Elvis has left the building. Thank you and good night.
I'm about to leave the building if you don't stop doing that.
Okay, okay. So you are listening to Siren FM, Lincoln's first community radio station. We are Squabblebox, your interactive entertainment show, right here, 11 till 1 every Monday and Thursday on Siren FM. This morning we have been taking your hashtag AskUsAnythings, all your questions we've been answering on the show. We're going to get through as many as we can, and then if we can't get through them all, we'll move them into the next episode.
Yep.
Now, this message in, Maisie, from Chris in Lincoln once again says, who is the most worldly?
Worldly?
Worldly, Kai or Maisie. Now, I'm not really sure what worldly means.
I think he means who's travelled the most.
Possibly.
Because I think that would be you, hands down.
Yeah, I think that's... Yeah, I'd say that that's what worldly means. Yeah, let's go. Well, let's run with it. Yes, I have travelled the most. Because we've been through this before.
We had this discussion. I've been to Scotland and Wales.
Yes.
I went to Disneyland Paris, and I've been to Loire Valley in France. So, yeah, other than France, I've been nowhere outside of the UK.
But you don't particularly, you know, you're not particularly wanting to go many places, are you?
I would love to. If I had the money and the resources to, then I would travel all the time.
All right. I'm going to jump in here and say it doesn't really matter whether you want to travel or not, because that's not what worldly means.
Well, we had that discussion anyway. I'm glad that you've Googled it.
Worldly means it's an adjective. And it says, of or concerned with material values or ordinary life rather than a spiritual existence.
Wait, so... Who's into the money?
Or someone who is experienced and sophisticated.
I think Chris means experienced and sophisticated.
So who do you think's the most experienced and sophisticated out of us two?
In just worldly matters?
Yes.
I don't know.
No?
I don't really know. I'd say I'm more sophisticated. Only because I've seen the way that you hold knife and fork.
Oh, Maisie. I do not hold... Right,
you hold your knife and fork like you're shoveling.
Well, I didn't know this until people pointed it out to me, and now I look at people and I go...
You used to eat with your mouth open a lot.
You're so mean to me.
I'm not mean. I'm just pointing out facts.
Oh, I used to...
I'm not saying you're like that now. You're better now.
I've got better. You've all trained me up well.
Training.
What you're saying is my parents did an awful job.
No.
So let's move on to another question.
Although, at no point am I saying that your mum and dad did a bad job at raising you.
I know.
Unlike you, you've actually said that to me live on air before.
Let's move on.
Now I want to stick with this.
All right. Where do you see yourself in 5 years?
And who's that question
That's
from?
That's from the Hallmark of Sweden, Hallmar.
I would like to still be doing radio.
Yes.
I'd like to be doing radio at a professional capacity. Yeah. And maybe even trying, like, working a couple different stations between now and then.
That would be cool.
I'd like to try and live in a couple new cities in the UK.
Where would you like... Well, that's another question that he's asked. If you could live anywhere, where would you live?
I have the whole world to choose from.
Yes.
But I think I would probably stay in the UK.
Yeah.
Because, Just because, you know, I'm used to it here. This is where my family is, and I wouldn't want to move too far away from them.
Makes sense.
But if I had to pick a town or a city to live in, I'd quite like to live in Canterbury.
All right. Why? How come?
Because I just really
Do you have family in Canterbury?
I have family in Canterbury. It's where my mum's from, and my dad grew up close to Canterbury.
Yeah.
And I just... It's... Every time I go there, I really do... I just feel at home, even though it's more of my second home because that's where my grandparents live. But whenever I've gone to visit them, it just feels so lovely.
Where is Canterbury?
Canterbury is very far down south. It's very close to London.
Yeah.
and it's and from where I used to live, it was about 5 hours away.
Yeah.
Between my mum and dad lived 5 hours away from my grandparents, so I didn't get to see them very often. But when I did, I would stay there for a very long period of time.
Yeah.
So it would be about 2 weeks, or sometimes even a full summer there.
Yeah.
And I think I've never felt out of place there.
You see, I've always, you know, all my family are based in Huddersfield. Mm. I tell you where I have been, though, that's gorgeous. It's where my granddad's from, mm. Loch Lomond in Scotland.
Oh, yeah.
And that is a beautiful place. I used to go out, I used to go out jogging when I was there.
Aww.
And I'd go jogging around the loch, but because, you know, Loch Lomond, it's a big loch.
It would take you a long time to just to do one lap.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure. But I used to go out jogging, and some of the sights there are absolutely fantastic.
Yeah, a lot of Scotland is very undisturbed.
I'll tell you somewhere where I've been where I was so, because our flatmate Becky is from Cambridge, and I used to take the Mickey and say, oh, I bet it's not as nice as it, you know, as it is. And I went down. It's absolutely
so
gorgeous.
Lovely.
It is so nice. We went out on a, what do you call the boat?
It's not a gondola.
Something like that, yeah.
It's not quite a gondola. It's similar. It's a water taxi.
Yeah, a little bit. But it was a gondola. The ones where they sort of push the water.
Yeah, you mean push the water.
Push the water. I don't know what
row.
You call it. Yeah, row the boat. Row
I'm
the boat.
I'm not too sure if there's a difference between a gondola and the type of water taxis they have in Canterbury. That's something that maybe someone can tell us.
Yeah. But yeah,
if anyone in the audience knows.
But yeah, I always found that I found it absolutely beautiful and a really, really nice city and somewhere that I'll definitely be going again, just to go out on the boat and see all the sights and stuff. Mm. Cambridge University, I've seen photos of it. It looks very nice, but it looks even more amazing in person.
And it's one of those things, when I went to London for a sort of day trip a couple of times in years gone by. And you've seen, like, everyone's seen the iconic pictures of London landmarks.
Yeah.
And they're very different when you can actually see them with your own eyes. And it's something about being there in person makes them seem so much bigger than you ever anticipated. Like seeing the Houses of Parliament, even though it was from a distance, seemed huge to me.
They make HP sauce in there.
They do.
That's such a really old joke.
It's a terrible joke.
But yeah, I've never really been to London. The only times I've been to London, I went once as a kid, and we went sort of into a hotel, but I don't remember going and seeing the sights.
Yeah.
And then I've mainly been going down there for football matches.
Yeah, going to see the sights with my grandma is hilarious.
All right, why?
Because my grandma, she gets really worried about the train system.
Right.
She gets really worried on the subway about getting lost.
Yes.
Not specifically me or my sister running away or getting lost, just her getting lost.
Yeah.
So she will, any time that she sees a map, she will just go, I just need to catch my bearings, wander off, look at the map, and then she's determined where we have to go. Even though there's a sign that points to the way out, and we already know, but yeah, it's become a joke in the family because it's one of those things that she didn't realise she did, and she does it a lot. And everyone has one of those things that have sort of become themselves.
Oh, of course.
And with that, the last time I saw all of my family together last summer, somebody pointed it out, and now my grandma finds it very funny.
Yeah.
She doesn't find it so funny with other people pointing it out, but she finds it hilarious to say anyway.
Yeah, like I say, though, when I've been to, like, London and stuff, I've never really been to see the sights. It is somewhere that I would like to go and see because, you know, I'd love to go see, like, Buckingham Palace
Squabble,
and do all the...
Squabblebox need to storm London.
Squabblebox on tour. Woo! We'll go see if we... We'll go knock on the palace gates.
See if the Queen's in.
Yeah, see if the Queen will do us a little interview. for Squabblebox, that'd be brilliant. Yeah, I'm sure she'd be up for that.
Yeah, probably.
She does it for the BBC, so she'll do it for us.
Yeah.
So, Maisie, we are quickly coming to the end of our show, but I think we got time for one more question, and that is from Chris in Lincoln, who says, who has the better name, Kai or Maisie?
Ooh, it depends.
Now, here's the way I work it out. Do you want to know the way I work it out? Is that I think that I think I've got the better first name. Because Kai is different and it's cool.
So is Maisie.
But, yeah, but...
Okay, yeah, but what do your name means king.
King of the sea.
It's king of the sea. Okay, my name means pearl, so I think you trump me.
Yes.
Because you own the whole sea, I own one part of the sea.
So I get that. Now, middle names, my name I don't like.
You don't
like
it. I'm not going to say it because
you
don't
want
me to.
I'll say it. Okay. My middle name's Joshua.
Which I think is a great name.
Now, I'm not keen on it, but Maisie, your middle name...
is Storm.
Storm. How awesome is that middle name? That's not that's not like a stage name.
That's legitimately on my birth certificate, yeah.
That's your parents being... absolutely awesome.
That was my dad. My dad picked.
Oh, the dad's been left in charge.
Well, this is the thing. My mum picked my first name without my dad's consent.
Oh.
Basically, they had the idea they were going to call me Abigail or Alice.
Yeah.
And then I was born, and then my mum went, okay, so this is Maisie, but you can pick the middle name.
Now, I think the last name, so we're one each. We're one all. So I think the last name...
yeah.
Valentine versus Anderson. Oh, I think Valentine wins.
It does. It's a pretty cool name.
So that's official. Kai has the... I'm talking to the third person again. I have the better name. So thank you to everyone who has got in touch throughout the show. You can get in touch with us throughout the week at Squabblebox on Twitter, on the email squabblebox@sirenonline.co.uk or on our Facebook fan page, Squabblebox.
Because you can ask us anything at any time of the week and they will go into our own personal little database
of
questions.
We've got plenty to go through for weeks coming up. Thank you to everyone who's got in touch and just thank you for listening. Stay tuned to Siren FM throughout the day. If you want to listen back to this, you can do on the Trending Topics Network on iTunes. And I think it's time to go into our final song of the morning. Maisie, we are going into a bit of Oasis.
Ooh.
Now, this is Oasis, Live Forever. Join us back on Thursday for more Squabblebox.
Maybe I don't really want to know. Garden grows, 'cause I just wanna fly. Lately, did you ever feel the pain in the morning rain as it soaks you to the bone? Well, maybe I just wanna fly, wanna live but don't wanna die. Maybe I just wanna.
Thank you for tuning into this episode of Squabblebox. We really, really appreciate your support. Another thing we really appreciate is our second home right here on the DSJMP network. And you can find all the other great shows here on DSJMP by going to www.dsjmp.com or searching for them on iTunes, where you can find some fantastic shows like the European Uppercut podcast, the Rasslecast, 10 to 1, The Tuts Experience, and of course, Squabblebox. Thank you for downloading. Make sure you check out everything else on Siren FM and the DSJMP network. And we'll see you all right back here next week.